At the centenary of the World War I armistice yesterday, French President Macron strongly denounced the rise of nationalism being the enemy of patriotism, he said. It was a little confusing, and what on earth was he driving at? Was it a pan-European agenda item, or was he perhaps reacting to a tweet from Donald Trump? I asked Dr. Kit Candlin whether nationalism was indeed at the heart of the World War I conflagration.
Most people in the world in the late 19th century, so really in the lead-up to World War I, most people in the world lived in an empire. They were used to dealing with other peoples and other cultures as being part of their government, if you like. And Australia was part of this global system of empire. I think Macron has his terms a little bit mixed up there. I mean, patriotism is a love of country. You know, and it can be on a national level or it can be on a local level. Most people are, I suppose, patriotic towards their own community and their own towns. And then they're sort of patriotic on a national level as well. But I don't know if nationalism is a betrayal of patriotism. I think what we're seeing here perhaps is, again, the idea of nationalism shifting.
Well, I was going to ask you a bit further about that. You know, do you think that nationalism is a bit different to the way we saw it in the beginning of the First World War period?
Oh, definitely. The nation state, for example, is much stronger. So, for example, Australians go to war for the empire, as do Canadians and New Zealanders and South Africans, and also lots of people from the West Indies, for example, from the Middle East. And Indians, of course, who lost 74,000 in World War One, they fought not just five divisions on the Western Front, but also, of course, throughout the Middle East. And so you're dealing with a large polyglot army that's been put together. The French army was also polyglot. They brought hundreds of thousands of African laborers, both as frontline combat troops, but also as porters and so forth to the Western Front. So it was a huge multicultural effort, World War One.
Because Germany was a threat, a colonial threat to the other empires. Even for us here in Australia, we had Germany and New Guinea, didn't we?
Well, look, the Germans, obviously, the place in the sun idea was something that was gaining ground in Germany in the 1890s. And you know, by the outbreak of World War One, they had some territories. They had what is now today Namibia or German Southwest Africa. They had Togoland up on above Nigeria there. They had German Samoa. But they were quite constrained. I mean, it wasn't as if the German army on a colonial level was really a threat to, say, British imperial or French imperial interests. They were too focused on Europe, because unlike France and Britain, who had a very blue water, as they call it, a blue water empire, the Germans were very much focused internally on their neighbors. So in countries that would become in the 20s, Czechoslovakia, but also Poland, and the issue of Russia in Poland and Germany in Poland, Romania, Hungary, that was really the focus for a lot of German foreign policy.
So when President Macron is making these comments, should we perhaps read in more of a political agenda? I mean, what was he perhaps making a dig at Trump, for instance?
Oh, definitely. He was definitely having a go at Trump. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this idea of America first is not a sustainable or equitable goal for nationalism. It's not the first time that America has had a leader that is pushing an isolationist bent. America, as many people would know, was very isolationist in the 1920s and 30s, but America was also very isolationist from the War of 1812 through the Civil War. There was a conflict with Mexico in 1846, but really the Monroe Doctrine is keeping Americans out of the Atlantic and Europe and keeping them focused on the United States.
Dr. Kit Candlin, lecturer in history at the Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences at the University of Newcastle, ending that report. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to The Wire Around Australia.